97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Still lots to get to for you this hour. We're going to talk to our friend Jessie Jane Duff. I have to wonder if she wasn't up at Madison Square Garden for that huge rally the president held there yesterday. Of course, if you listen to the mainstream media, it was filled with hate and lies and all that stuff. They're so predictable. If you watch that thing, it was fantastic. The arena was filled. It was rocking. They had thousands of people that couldn't even get in New York City. You can't watch that and not feel a little bit of momentum on that end, I have to tell you. We'll talk to Jessie Jane Duff about that coming up. Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour to talk a little bit of basketball, maybe some college football after the Mizzou debacle there at Alabama this weekend and the injury to Brady Cook. We'll talk about that as well. But first, I want us to focus on the election 1 week from tomorrow. Of course, early voting is already underway, and we've got Dr. Bob Onder, Senator Bob Onder, and, of course, Congressional District 3 candidate Bob Onder on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mark. Great to be back.
Hey, it's great to have you. How you feeling about this as we head into this thing a week out?
Well, I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling good both here in Missouri and nationwide. I really think Donald Trump will be our next president come January. I think the momentum is all on our side. The enthusiasm is all on our side. And I think we're going to bring it home.
Well, I know you've been up all over CD3. Obviously, you've been involved in many, many elections. How do you feel about this early voting turnout so far? I know there have been long lines out in St. Charles County. Maybe it's because they only have two locations. But close to 30,000 people had voted early as of Saturday just in St. Charles County.
Right. I think it's estimated that over 1% of St. Charles County voters have already voted. And between mail-in and no excuse early voting, I think Kurt Barr is estimating that about 20% of St. Charles County's vote is going to be before Election Day. How do I feel about it? Well, look, I believe that in-person voting on Election Day on a paper ballot with voter ID is the gold standard for election integrity. That being said, we need to get out there. We need our voters. We need personally to get out there and vote early because we need to bank our votes. We cannot take chances for what's going to happen on Election Day, whether it be long lines or machine glitches or anything else. So I would encourage all of your listeners to get themselves, to get their family and friends out and vote early.
You know, I have to admit, I'm getting a little bit nervous about what's going to happen as it relates to Amendment 3, because I don't think most Missourians actually want what it will do. But the language that people are going to see in the ballot is so deceptive. What are you thinking now with just about a week or so left with so many people voting early? How do you think that's going to pan out here in Missouri?
Yeah, well, Kim, I am very concerned. We have a system in Missouri where out-of-state special interests can come with millions of dollars and write deceptive ballot language, pay for the signatures, and then our Missouri appellate courts uphold their highly biased ballot language. It's an utter travesty. That being said, I have seen some polling that shows that actually the anti-Amendment 3 forces are doing okay, that we are gaining traction, that we are not doing as well in the St. Louis and Kansas City area, but everywhere else in the state. Amendment 3 is going to go down, and so it's critical that we get our voters out. Look, I think the other side wrote the language, Kim, when they chose to use the word reproductive health care, and it's very clear that Planned Parenthood and transgender pediatric clinics and the radical LGBT left all regard transitioning children, giving them poisonous puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and cutting off reproductive organs. They regard that as reproductive care. Hard stop. They will be to court to overturn Missouri's Safe Act protection for children should Amendment 3 pass. Oh, not to mention abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy, all our health and safety standards repealed, all our parental consent and notification requirements repealed. I've never seen such an anti-life, anti-family, anti-child proposal, legal proposal, and it's going to be in front of us on the ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lying. They've used the outside money, Bob, to lie about so many things, right? I mean, I don't feel strongly one way or the other about online sports gambling, but the lie that they keep pitching that it's a guaranteed $100 million for schools, that's a lie. Even the ballot language says zero.
Yeah, Mark, that's right. And the reason it's zero is right now there is no tax on sports gambling right now. So the legislature would have to pass such a tax. And, of course, you can imagine what kind of headwinds that would face.
Yeah.
In addition, the constitutional amendment that the realtors passed a few years ago that said nothing that's not taxed right now can be taxed in the future. I'm not sure it would be constitutional to tax sports betting. So, I'm with you. Our surrounding states have it. Lots of people, bet online. But I'm tired of the deception used to pass some of these amendments, and I'm really tired of this free and open Constitution for Sale initiative process we have.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Dr. Bob Onder, our guest right now, a candidate for Congressional District 3 as a Republican. And Bob, I know you've been talking to the people that would be your future colleagues up in Washington, D.C. How are they feeling about the House this year?
Yeah, I think we're feeling really good about it. On the one hand, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee does have considerably more money than the Republican counterpart, NRCC. On the other hand, financially, the actual campaigns themselves are more evenly matched. And our quality of candidates is just incredible. Last week, as you know, I was down at the border, but also elsewhere in Texas and in Arizona. We have three very young, dynamic Mexican-American candidates who are campaigning on number one issue, the border. And I think we are going to see that Hispanics who are predominantly Catholic and pro-life and pro-family, they're going to be the new Republican demographic, far from this idea that securing the border is somehow going to turn off Hispanics. But we also have other opportunities in New York. I think we're going to pick up some seats, and I think most of the Republican incumbents who are in tough districts look like they're doing well. So I'm feeling very optimistic that we hold the House. I think it's extremely likely that we're going to take the Senate. And, of course, the big prize, I believe Donald Trump will be our next president.
Yeah, I'm certainly hopeful for that, too. Dr. Bob Onder, always great having you on, and best of luck, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Kim.
Yep. Talk to you soon. We'll get to him on there. And, of course, he's on my voter guide there. When you go to 971talk.com, you can find that pinned to the top of the page. Please utilize that before you head to the polls. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff with more on the President Trump's huge rally in Madison Square Garden last night. The liberals are so angry that he did that, they can't stand it. We'll be back in just a minute.
And, used to be able to tell people to Google stuff. My mom's a boomer in the state of Ohio, and there's no convincing her of anything. She's eating the cats. She's eating the dogs. They're eating the pets up there. It is absolutely wild times. It really, really is. And, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Oh. I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane, for some reason, the people on the left do not like Tony Hinchcliffe. They do not get humor at all from that comedian.
Well, I guess I probably don't really get his comedy either, to be honest with you. I mean, that's kind of, I've known plenty of Puerto Ricans, and I just think that was kind of a very cruel thing to say, particularly that they are part of the United States. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little cynical, but I just think that sometimes humor can go to a point where people are going, huh, scratching their heads. Again, that's just me. But I also do appreciate humor, such as President Trump's. I think that he kind of slaps the left around constantly, and they take everything so literally to a point where they don't know how to separate sarcasm from innuendo, from metaphor. You know, it's too complex for them. They want these straight-cut politicians that basically tell you nothing but lies and then get into office and make sure that you go to war and have high inflation rates and do everything to your country to make sure it's not as efficient as it once was, aka Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, here's the AP headline on the Madison Square Garden rally, which was fabulous. It was the place was rocking. There were thousands of people that couldn't get in.
Yeah.
The headline in the AP this morning, Trump's Madison Square Garden event features crude and racist insults. That's all they could come up with.
Yeah, it's really bizarre because they will nitpick to find the things that are, again, suggestive or implication. But, you know, remember TV shows like In Living Color were absolutely fabulous. And they actually played up everybody's deficiencies, whatever they may be. And then you fast forward to a liberal, a far lefty, Larry David. And you hear nothing about all of the things that he does on Curb Your Enthusiasm because he's one of them.
Yes.
And yet he puts down, he does the subtle MAGA put downs, but he does it in a way where even I can laugh because he's very self-deprecating. But yet if that was a conservative with a roommate named Leon who fulfilled all of these, particularly stereotypical behaviors that could be considered pejorative, oh, my goodness, he probably would have been taken off the air by now. So it's really contradiction based upon the convenience of your political agenda. And I find that the left is just finding themselves struggling with trying to understand how so many people could support President Trump, and they don't understand that it's the establishment that has destroyed this country that he's willing to take on, and there's not a single politician out there willing to do that.
The rest
have all been paid and profited off of the positions they've been in.
Speaking of struggling, it seems like the general consensus I've heard so far is that the Trump campaign is really gaining momentum, specifically in the last, week or so. I mean, this has been happening, but really the last week or so, and that Kamala Harris's campaign is really struggling. And we're seeing this still with men. They cannot seem to win over the men.
Yeah, she can't win over a lot of people. First of all, there's a lot of things aesthetically about her that just are bad. Her tone, that, like, you guys are in radio, you understand. We don't talk up here and have our voice up here. It's grating, it's annoying. So that right there is a turnoff. The laughter, of course, is a turnoff. And then the inability to complete a sentence is also a turnoff. So you've got a lot of characteristics about her where visually she's acceptable, but you can't hear her because, one, it's an incoherent message, it's a high pitched message, and she should have had a voice coach by now. So she's like nails on a chalkboard, and that is such a stupid measure that they used when picking her based upon her identity versus her capability. We all understand that. But fast forward, and you look at what the left is collapsing under. They can only hang on to calling us Nazis and Hitler now. Her last-ditch Hail Mary, which she thought was going to rivet everybody because she had a 4-star general who had been in the Marine Corps. Let me address this very quickly right now. He went through a demotion to be the office manager. And if you look at Mark Paletta's Twitter handle, he has a tweet. He worked with that man. He said he was disgruntled. He was bitter. He did not like that he was not appreciated to the level he wanted. And he continually threatened to quit. And then when he did quit, he was supposed to stay and do the transition for Mulvaney, and he disappeared. He was just a bitter man. And I know enough about the military. They keep putting these military men on a pedestal, but yet they have no respect for really the military. The military men that they have respected have all been fired and have all been advocates for left-wing policies and have all been advocates for staying in Afghanistan, like McMaster, Milley, Mattis, all of them. They were great generals as long as they were just doing what generals are supposed to do. But as soon as they get near that Pentagon and they can profit off of the position they have, such as Secretary Lloyd Austin and 1.5 million of unvested stock with Raytheon that he had when he became secretary, you have to understand they had a different agenda.
They don't like to be told no, for sure. Jesse Jane, I'm running out of time here as usual. Sorry.
You're always running in no time. All right, TKO Motivators, it's a long week. I will talk with you again next week right before we win this election.
Yes, you will. JesseJaneDuff.com. Back with Tom Ackerman.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, we've got Tom Ackerman in studio with us right now. And, you know, Tom, I don't know what else to say about that Mizzou loss on Saturday. Complete blowout. I mean, the biggest focus for most people might be Brady Cook now because he injured his hand.
Yeah,
right?
Hurt his hand, had a bad ankle going into the game. I was there Tuesday. I told you I went to Columbia just to kind of check on him. And I had a bad feeling about his injury. I'm actually surprised he played based on what I had heard, kind of the scuttlebutt, you know, that his ankle was in bad shape. But he played. And I also just had a bad impression of, they're not like, he's not a bad guy. I love Eli Drinkwitz, but just the whole scene there was very subdued. Like, they just came off an incredible homecoming win against Auburn.
Right.
And I just felt like the whole thing was just, it was just so low energy. Everything about it, the experience of the press conference and the players, and, you know, where was the, hey, let's go, you know, let's get down to Alabama. Let's go get them. I mean, maybe behind the scenes that was happening, being discussed, but I certainly didn't feel it.
But you think, if anything, they'd want that to be felt by people who
are you,
the press. Yeah, like fake it almost, and then you'll be subdued privately.
Boy, I went to Columbia, and I'll tell you what, this Mizzou team seems energized. I mean, they might go down and stop Alabama, and Alabama's a little wobbly right now. Like, you know, I did not feel that.
Why do you think that is? You think they were intimidated by Alabama?
I think maybe they were just down about the Cook injury and about the Noel injury and about the Cooper injury, and they have tons of injuries. But you know what? The great teams find a way, and they have enough depth to back that up, and Missouri does not have that. So Missouri has gotten flattened by two teams on the road in the SEC, in Texas A&M and Alabama, and therefore their college football playoff chances are toast. They don't have a signature win. You know, they've beaten Auburn. It was great, but Auburn's not good. They beat Vanderbilt, who turned out to be a decent team, but it took them double overtime to do it. They beat BC barely. They beat UMass and Murray State and Buffalo. I mean, they're just not, there's nothing there. So, unfortunately, they are what they are. They're the 25th. I'm actually surprised they hung in the rankings at 25, but they are ranked 25th. Illinois is a better team, I think, in terms of its resume, but kind of the same thing.
Like, they just crushed.
They get smoked at Oregon, and they're good. I think the expectations for Mizzou were much higher. Therefore, they're more of a disappointing team to me than Illinois. But both teams had a rough weekend.
Well, how about Vandy? You mentioned Vandy. I mean, to come that close to knocking off Texas, wasn't it a 5-point game?
It's really fun. You know, their quarterback, Pavia, is awesome.
Yeah.
He's got an attitude. And, you know, Vandy's got a little
swagger there.
Little swagger.
Oh, yeah. No
little
kidding.
Swagger, the V. So, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. They've got some NIL money. They're in a cool town. I mean, if I wanted to transfer and play in a cool town and a team that's got some money to give me, I might consider, if I'm a star player, going to Vanderbilt, have a little fun. Who knows? I mean, this could be the start of something for them.
The joke used to be in the SEC, from Vanderbilt, you'll beat us at football and basketball, but you'll work for us someday, so it won't matter, right? And maybe not so much anymore.
Yeah. I don't know, you know? So interesting.
Hey, you know, I have to admit, I did not watch Game 1 or 2 of the World Series, but it was so funny because I'm over at my my husband's grandma's birthday party. I'm not going to say how old she is, but I'm over there and she says, did you guys all watch game one or two of the World Series? And she was talking about the fan who reached over and caught the ball, and it caused some controversy. People were upset that he caught the ball, right? Because then it was this whole discrepancy about what the call should have been.
Absolutely. I don't know how much that affected game. Either of the games, I felt like the Dodgers earned it fair and square. I mean, and I'm really impressed with the Dodgers, actually. You know, they're banged up and they've had some injuries. Their whole starting rotation, here's exactly what we were just talking about. You know, the Dodgers are a great team because they are able to back up the loss of Kershaw and some of these great starters. and they just are able to piece it together. And then Freddie Freeman's out there on one foot, and he hits a grand slam. Now Otani's hurt. He has a partially dislocated shoulder. He should play tonight, but something they're going to have to keep an eye on. And the Dodgers keep finding a way. So the theme for me is the Dodgers have impressed me. As much as I don't like them, and I'm a Cardinals fan growing up, and we hate the Dodgers, but I'm impressed with what they've been able to. And Edmund hits another home run, of course. You know, I'm impressed with what they've been able to accomplish. Now, this place will be a madhouse tonight, Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees have to win it. It's a must-win for them.
They have to, yeah.
The problem sometimes with the New York crowd, and this place will be bananas to start the game.
It'd be like Madison Square Garden.
It's going to beyond that. It is going to be nuts. But a New York crowd also will fall dead silent when things don't go well. You know, it's like one or the other. It's either a million or zero. And I think that if the Dodgers find a way to get early runs, the Yankees are in big trouble. So it'll be something to watch tonight. I will pay attention, of course, to the World Series. I think it's great. It's not as I'm not as into it as I thought I would be, maybe because there's so much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I am paying attention. But I'm not like, you know, I'm more interested in what happens after Game 7, what the Cardinals do, you know, at this point. But I will pay attention, and I love the game of baseball, and I appreciate two big brands going at it.
I'm up early Saturday watching ESPN Game Day, and I'm pretty sure I saw Tom Ackerman in the background waving like this. Was that you?
I was in that crowd.
Oh, my gosh. I want to see the clip.
You can't see me.
I'm
in there. But I'm in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What a win, huh?
It was an unbelievable 48 hours. I got up, Friday night, I did an event for my friend Jim Brennan, the president of McKelvey Homes, for the Dravet Syndrome Foundation. We raised hundreds of thousands. I think they're going to end up with $600,000 raised. Amazing night at the Third Degree Glass Factory. And then my wife Angie and I left at around 10, got home. I went to bed at 11, got up at 3, got in the car at 3:30, like Christmas morning, man. I could not. I was
wide awake. Yeah.
So excited. Had my coffee. I drove to Bloomington. I got there. You know, you lose an hour because it's Eastern. I got there at 8 o'clock. I walked through campus, and I parked at the Student Union and walked because I wanted, on a beautiful fall morning, I want to walk to the stadium from the heart of campus. And you could hear the roar of the crowd through campus all the way back to the Student Union. And I'm like, this is... I dreamed of this. And you get there, College Game Day's there, place is packed, people tailgating, RVs everywhere, College Game Day's huge stage. I did a lap around the Game Day set with a couple of buddies of mine. My fraternity brothers are tailgating. It's a crisp, perfect fall day. And then on top of that, with all those expectations, Indiana with a backup quarterback beats Washington soundly and goes to 8-0, and the party continues all day. It's like... I never thought it would actually happen. I always hoped it would, that Indiana would have a good football team, but it has happened. Now, you know, it gets harder. They have to go to Michigan State this weekend and keep this thing rolling, but it has been a dream season.
Good
really
for
has.
You, man. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I am.
It's pretty cool.
I'll root for you until basketball season comes along.
I hear you, man. Well, we don't play you yet. We don't play you yet. Yeah,
not yet, but we're going to work that out. Kentucky,
it's been fun. And there's
Kentucky
there's an example.
The school for the blind and deaf the other night. I think it was 123-70 or something.
You know, Indiana played Tennessee yesterday.
Oh, did they really?
In an exhibition game.
Yeah.
Those teams were going at it. Indiana beat them.
Wow.
At Tennessee. That's
good.
Pretty nice team. But yeah, you know, so the football thing real quick is kind of an example of what I was talking about. Indiana is one of those schools that has a lot of money, a war chest for basketball. I mean, they'll do anything for hoops, but that has now moved to football. You know, they got the right coach. The coach wants more money, and they're going to give it to him. And not only for him, but for NIL and for resources, and they are putting a lot into football, and there's an example how you can turn it around quickly in this new college football landscape.
Yep. So it's true.
It's not bad.
Tom, glad we got a little extra, little overtime with you today.
We got
That's
a
awesome.
Little OT today.
Bonus Tom.
Yeah, appreciate
like
it. Great to spend like time it. With you guys.
Yep. Thanks for coming down. We
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It. All right. We're going to be back in just a minute. A little wrap up of what you saw yesterday in Madison Square Garden. And of course, we're going to talk more about voting, getting out there, getting it done, what you can find on the voter's guide straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Oh!
Sorry. You can't do that.
What the hell, man? How'd you get in here?
I'm your Republican congressman. Now that we're in charge, we're banning porn nationwide.
You can't tell me what to do. Get out of my bedroom, you creep.
I won the last election, so it's my decision. I'm just going to watch and make sure you don't finish illegally.
Well, if we don't scare them enough about Hitler, let's make them believe that if Donald Trump gets elected, he's going to ban pornography.
Oh, he
That's
did.
The
he,
ad.
Yeah, he says that at all his rallies, right?
Yeah, I don't even know where that came from.
First of all, I actually would support that, but I know it would never happen, and Trump has never said that would happen.
You found that ad. Where was it? Is it? It's not the, from the Harris campaign.
No, no, no.
But
I
it's
can't
from
remember
some progressive left group that wants to scare young people into thinking that Trump is out to ban porn.
Well, remember, they even have a group that has started a campaign, and they have a website called, like, Hands Off My Porn, and they have sex workers who are recording videos and putting them on those types of sites to try to attract men to go vote for Kamala Harris. I mean, that is the level of desperation that we're seeing right now from Kamala Harris supporters.
Yeah, also, this is from the other side. This is not a Trump campaign ad, but it's a campaign ad against Kamala Harris, and I thought it was pretty clever. Here we go.
Warning, this ad contains multiple instances of the C word. Viewer discretion is advised. Kamala Harris is a C word. You heard that right. A big old C word. In fact, all of the other C words think she's the biggest C word of them all. That's right, she's a tax-hiking, regulation-loving, gun-grabbing communist. And the worst part, she's proud of it. Kamala Harris, the C word America simply can't afford. See you nationwide Tuesday, November 5th.
That's good.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's
right?
Pretty good.
I don't even know who did it, but it doesn't even have one of the taglines at the end that says, this ad brought to you by, you know, I'm Donald Trump and I approved this ad. It wasn't a Trump ad.
No, I mean, some of the best ads, though, have been these independent groups that are making them.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the ad that I don't think it was Kamala Harris's campaign that maybe it was, where it was like, I'm a real man and I vote for Kamala Harris and I, you know, drive my tractor and I vote. Remember that one?
I do.
Ridiculous. Yeah, like,
I know.
You're not a man if you don't vote for Kamala Harris. Did you see that video that has been shown now of Gretchen Whitmer or whatever her name is at a bar with Kamala Harris? And she was mic'd up and I guess she didn't realize it.
And she dropped an F-bomb.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I thought that they were. I thought what I've seen people typing up about that was that she was saying basically we got to get more of the men voting for me.
Uh-huh.
Not those exact words, but that's the gist
of
it.
She turns around. She goes, oh, we do have cameras here.
Oops.
Be sure and edit out my F-bomb that I just dropped or something like that.
Where's the joy, Kamala?
And at least Gretchen Whitmer's drinking her beer. Doesn't look like Kamala has even touched her little pint of beer she had sitting on the counter. There. I guess that's to make her appeal more to men or something.
The kind of person you could have a beer with. Remember, that's like Stephen Colbert had to crack open the beer, you know, while everybody in North Carolina still doesn't have power and all the things. But yeah, go open a beer on late night
shows.
Anybody's
buying it. So in case you missed our interview with Evelyn earlier, she is an immigrant to this country from Africa. And she's got a message to all of the people here who really don't think they can achieve the American dream.
When we moved here, I bought a house. I bought my own house. Can you imagine that? I bought a brand new car. So that's the American dream we are talking about. When you work hard, you put your everything into it. You know, you don't complain. I'm not oppressed. No one did any harm to me when I came here. I'm a free citizen, you know.
Yeah, this was a great interview. If you missed it, you got to go back and listen to it. It's up on demand on the podcast. I put a link to it on our Facebook page, and I put a link to it under the chat for the Mark Cox Morning Show, which is live now on Facebook. You can find it both of those places, or just go to the podcast, and you can download it, listen to it. 13 or 14 minutes long, probably one of the most powerful. I had people texting me saying, I just want to hug her.
Yeah. Donna on Twitter, she messaged us and said, I've listened to Mark Cox for years. Evelyn is one of the best interviews.
She did it.
And I agree.
She was nervous about coming on.
Mm-hmm.
English is not her first language. But I knew if I could talk her into coming in and recording something, she'd be more comfortable. And the minute we started, she forgot the mic was there. It was fantastic.
Yep. It's funny. We tell people that. I used to tell people that when I do TV interviews. I'm like, I promise you it's going to be easier than you think. And wow, she's so passionate. And you feel it. And just like your friend said, you just want to hug her.
Yeah.
I did when the interview was over. I'm like, you're fantastic.
Evelyn, thank you for sharing your story with us. It's so important for people to hear that. All right. Download the voter guide, 971talk.com. Go vote. Stand in line. Commit an hour to it. Get it done. Let's bank those votes. Brian Kilmeade's coming up next. Annie and Mark later in the afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.